I'm going to get myself in trouble here. But last night, I broke in my Christmas present from my kids. I told you. Some friends of ours brought over some cow product, and we fired up the grill. And our two steaks were good. The other ones looked okay if you like shoe leather. Were they good too? Okay. You were invited. But it's kind of neat how this grill works. There's a tank. It's heavy. You hook it up and you turn the little valve and you turn a knob and you push a button, and fire starts. But I don't know from where. I mean, what is it that causes the fire? Young Andrew? The heat? And the what? But what? There's no fuel. I don't see no fuel. But there's fire. I imagine I bought this tank and it says it was propane, but I don't see it. Faith that there's propane. Ooh, a little deep for me, Bob. I mean, our bodies, we do something constantly. What do we do, Bob? We breathe constantly. What do we breathe? Where? Okay, so the oxygen is in our lungs. Okay. So is there like something inside my body that stores the oxygen and then the oxygen goes into my lungs? It's in front of me. Then how do I know what's there? And I keep breathing. There's many things that we come to take for granted that we really at best have lack of proof for. I mean, we will walk outside after service and we will more than likely be hit with a breeze of some sort. Today it will be a rather cool breeze. But we can't see it. But we know it's there. Today, we're going to look at a very important passage of Scripture. Remember, I entitled this series today, two-part series. It was supposed to be done yet last week, but we saw how that went. I called it Salvation for Dummies. Mr. Andrew, why did I call it Salvation for Dummies? Is it because you're stupid? No. Why would I come up with a name like that? Okay, and that's my purpose. I'm not trying to get real deep in this. Because believe me, if we wanted to, and maybe some days out in the future, we'll spend some more time in here, but we could get so deep that we can get lost. I want to stick with the basics of Scripture and what Scripture says. Today we're going to talk about salvation from two perspectives. We're going to talk about, we're mainly going to talk about salvation from God's perspective. While we'll start out here for just a second or so, talking about salvation from man's perspective. As we go through verses 29 and 30, we're going to be introduced to what has been called the five golden links of salvation. Five golden links, and we'll get into that. Those are five golden links from God's perspective. Let's talk about maybe the five bronze links. Got to make them different. Or how many we can come up with from man's perspective. When we got saved, when we saw the need of our salvation, what happened? What's the first thing that happened? Okay, we pray. That's kind of a little down the line. Not saying it's not one of them. Okay, we heard. Okay, we were told the truth, correct? Okay, and when we were told the truth, what happened? Conviction, maybe? So we were told the truth, we were convicted, we saw our need, we prayed and repented, and we were saved. Is that about right? I mean, we could add maybe a couple more little intricates in there, but that's basically the... Would you disagree? No? That's salvation from our perspective. I mean, we came to a point and we cried out to God for salvation. Correct? John MacArthur, back when he was going through the Gospel of John, he made the statement, talking about God's sovereignty and salvation, that no one could tell him that there was not a point in time that he did not choose Christ, because he remembers it distinctly. And those of us who are believers in Christ, I think we can all remember a point in time when our life changed, when our mindset changed, when our thinking changed of who Christ was. salvation from man's perspective. Pretty well taught throughout the pages of Scripture. Let's look this morning at salvation from God's perspective. We'll pick up from verse 28 and read through 30. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Let's pray. Father, I ask for wisdom this morning. I ask for Your Holy Spirit to be involved in what is going to be spoken this morning, that it would be truth from Your Word and not baggage that I bring to the table. Father, grow Your people. May we have an understanding today, a better understanding of who You are. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now again, remember, this whole section in Romans, we are talking about people who are suffering. That's the backdrop to all of this. And Paul is giving hope, hope that we are adopted by God, that it's God's power, that everything He does for us. That even when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit within us prays for us. We looked at verse 28 last week. God causes all things to work together for good. Okay? Even those bad things that we see happening in us, God causes those to work out for good purposes. But not good purposes for everybody. Only good purposes for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. And in this section, Paul is still in that mindset of giving us hope. What happens when my hope comes from me? If all I can count on is something that is from me, what generally happens? Huh? Why do I get let down? Why do I? I mean, I have aspirations. I have hope of someday being president of the United States. I'm going to get there. On my own. What's going to happen? I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail big time. I mean, because I'm sure there's something in my past that somebody can come up with to blast it on page one of the local newspaper. It's the same thing when we put our hope in our salvation in ourselves. I was watching Shark Tank last night. And the advice that these 5 millionaire and billionaires give to these people who are coming to present their products for endorsement, the advice they give is every single one of us have failed many times before something happened to where we got it right. That's good advice. I mean, Landon wants to build a bike business. So he goes out and he buys some used bicycles. He spends $150, $15 a piece on his bicycles. He cleans them up. And he goes to sell them. And he's all excited. He places an ad in the paper and Facebook. And he's got his bike staged in front of the house. And all he can get for is $10 a piece. He lost $50. Plus the price of an ad. Plus you boosted your Facebook ad. Failure number one, Landon. But he comes up with another idea and he puts it in and he fails again. But through persistence, after the 10th, 20th, 40th, 100th time, he's finally breaking even with his bicycles. Paul is trying to give hope to the Roman people that salvation is not of them. We don't want to leave it to a place to where we can fail. Because he's already been clear through chapters 1 through 7 that we can't do it. It's not of our power. It is only of God's. So Paul's going to paint this picture then of what that looks like. Salvation from God's perspective. We're going to look at the first golden chain this morning. For those whom he foreknew. Foreknowance. Is that a word? I just made it up. For God to foreknow us. What is that? I mean, what do you think that is? I mean, there's a couple different definitions we can go for. Some would say that God knows everything. Do we agree with that statement? Okay, got nods. God knows everything. So, back through the ages of time before time began, God looked down through the annals of history and he saw the day that Ryan was going to choose God. That is one way of looking at it. But if you actually look at the word, if we dissect the word, the meaning of this foreknowance that God foreknew, we could say that God foreloved. So God foreloved first chain, which is connected to the second chain. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. So those he foreknew, those he foreloved, he also predestined. What's predestined? Okay, determined. Put into action. Made it happen. Those he foreknew, he also predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. So that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Who's the he? Is the he those whom he foreknew and whom he predestined? Any ideas? What? Okay, how do we know that? It's our translators made the he a capital. So that he, Christ, would be the firstborn among many brethren. And that's what he is to us, is he not? I mean, we are joint heirs to the firstborn. All right, foreknow, predestined. And these whom he predestined, he also called. So God began by his foreknowledge. In his foreknowledge, he predestined. In his predestination, he called. What did we have to do with his foreknowledge? Nothing. Why? If he foreknew us, then he must have saw what a great person I was going to be. Did he not? He's got a better judge of character than you do, Bob. We had nothing to do with his foreknowledge. Certainly we had something to do with his predestination. No? What did we have to do with his calling? We respond. So whom he foreknew, he predestined, and he called. And those he called, he also justified. To be justified is to be made right with God. And I'm going to put this all together here as soon as we get through this. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Ryan, when does our glorification take place? When are we glorified? Am I glorified now? And I know it's a trick question. Okay. Okay, I have not received my final glory. As beautiful as I am, as in great a shape, round that I am, I will not be glorified until when? or till we are brought up to meet him. I mean, remember, even Jesus, as he was walking the earth after his ascension, he told his disciples what? Don't touch me at this time. Why? Because I have not been to my Father to be glorified. Okay. Now, let's go back to our five links. Now, these links, they are intertwined. They are solid gold that are linked together. One of these cannot happen without the other. So whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Whom he predestined, he also called. He who he called, he also justified. And who he justified, he also glorified. Is anybody good with English? Are you? Homeschooler? Okay. Okay, what is common, what is a common thread from an English vernacular of these words? Foreknew, predestined, called, justified, glorified. Huh? They're past tense, are they not? So our salvation was set in place at the beginning. It's a done deal. And even though we are not presently glorified, we are as good as being glorified. Because he foreknew us, he foreloved us, he put into motion our calling. That calling brought forth our justification, and that justification brings forth our glorification. All past tense. That should bring us hope in times of suffering. That should bring us hope when things aren't going our way. That can bring us hope in the uncertainty of this day that we live in, when good is called evil and evil is called good. Because we can realize and understand that salvation is not a man-made process. Salvation is a process that is of God alone. Now, we as reformed-minded people, we like to take this as a starting point and go all over the place. I'm not going to do that this morning. My purpose in our passage today is to show that God is sovereign in salvation. That God is sovereign in all things. We like to jump on God's sovereignty in salvation. I mean, it seems like we can come up with so much pride in ourselves when we jump on that. But the truth of the matter is God is sovereign in everything. Because if God was not sovereign in everything, he would cease to be God. Now, this is something you can go home today and you can think about and you can make your head ache trying to weave in all sorts of things. But you see, when we are justified, as God calls us, as God justifies us, he imputes within us faith. Faith to understand, well, not even to understand sometimes, but faith to accept what God has done. When did all this take place? I mean, it doesn't necessarily say. And at this point, I'm not going to conjecture. But when we're in times of trouble, when we're at that point where we have to realize that God causes all things to work together for good. I mean, when you get a promotion at work, do you have to wonder why, you know, wonder if all things are working together for good? Landon, you've just been promoted to chief grinder. You are now responsible for all the grinds in the coffee that is to be served. No one else can grind the espresso beans, only you. And that comes with it a 25-cent raise. Do we have to wonder in that God, all things work together for good? Not really. That last batch of beans that you grinded was 0.356 ounces light. I'm sorry. You're fired. All things work together for good. I mean, it's in times like that that we kind of need that verse, although we should need it all the time. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And in 29 and 30, Paul explains just what it is to be those who are called according to his purpose. That is why we can take a stance in our statement of faith, in our personal belief, that once we are saved, we cannot lose our salvation. Do you understand that there are denominations within Christianity that believe that you are not eternally secure? That you can do something, you can sin in such a way that you lose your salvation. practically, it makes sense. I mean, if I was God, that would probably be the way I would work. How dare you do that after everything I've done for you? But if it's not us doing the saving, if it's God that does the saving, then we can't do the losing. No man can be plucked out of my hand. And that's all I really want to try to get across this morning. I'm not here to talk each and every one of you into signing on to all the tenets of Calvinism. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to give God the glory for what He deserves the glory of. And that's everything. Even our salvation. Now we're going to get into some, we're going to take a wild ride over the course of the next month or so. I'm trying to pawn off chapter 9 onto Pastor Ryan. He hasn't taken the bait yet. But it's going to make us think, and it's going to make us question. But again, I will stick to the confines of Scripture. I will stay within the text, and we'll see it as the text presents it. There's one thing that I believe more than anything in this entire world, and that this is perfect. And it being perfect does not lead us astray. And if we only follow it as it's presented, we can't go wrong. I keep going back to a wise man who once told me that we try to take Scripture to places where it doesn't always lead us. We try to interject things into it that may or may not belong. But the words of Scripture are meant for somebody simple-minded to be able to understand. And I'm glad it is, because sometimes I think I'm about as simple-minded as they come. We can't understand the mind of God. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. His ways higher than ours. We can only understand Him as He's presented to us in His Word. If this is a road you'd like to travel someday to see how far you can go in this, there's plenty of books and resources and things that you can read and listen to. But start first right here. Stay with what this says. I mean, there's commentaries. Just pick the book of Romans. Okay, here's Romans. I don't even know if that's an eighth of an inch. And there's commentaries out there that are anywhere from here to hear just talking about the book of Romans. I'm not saying a commentary is bad. I use them myself. But a commentary is not God's word spoken. A commentary is man trying to explain God's word spoken. I end today with a Facebook meme. Do you want to hear God speak? Read this. Do you want to hear God speak audibly? Read this out loud. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that salvation is not of us. But Father, you work all things together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. Father, my desire was not to confuse today. My desire was just to present your word as written. And I pray, Lord, as we look at these truths, these five golden chains of salvation from God's perspective, Lord, that you would draw us to be more like you. And Father, I know there are those out there that would say, I've gone too far today in ascribing too much to God. While at the same time, I'll have many who will listen to this and say, I went too far ascribing too much to man. Father, may you work out your salvation within us. It is you who has begun the good work and will bring us to perfection. Father, it's all about you. It is not about us. May you increase. May we decrease. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.